Welcome back to this Divine Office podcast on this morning of Sunday, December 15th. It sure is good to have you all here. And in a couple of days, Advent kind of switches up into high gear. After the 17th, it starts kind of a different phase of Advent. Our Advent will be cut short by about two-thirds of a week because of the year where Christmas Day falls, and Christmas Day always marks the end of Advent, regardless of when the start of Advent was. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon earth, and all nations learn your saving help. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice. With fairness you rule the peoples. You guide the nations on earth. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. The earth has yielded its fruit, for God, our God, has blessed us. May God still give us his blessing till the ends of the earth revere him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. The advent of our King, our prayers must now employ, and we must hymns of welcome sing in strains of hopeful joy. The everlasting Son, incarnate deigns to be, himself a servant's form puts on to set his servants free. Daughter of Zion, rise to meet thy lowly King, nor let thy faithless heart despise the peace he comes to bring. As judge on clouds of light, he soon will come again, and his true members all unite with him in heaven to reign. All glory to the Son, who comes to set us free, with Father, Spirit, ever one, through all eternity. This is our heavenly King. He comes with power and might to save the nations. Alleluia. Then we have Psalm 145. I will give you glory, O God, my King. I will bless your name forever. I will bless you day after day and praise your name forever. The Lord is great, highly to be praised. His greatness cannot be measured. Age to age shall proclaim your works, shall declare your mighty deeds, shall speak of your splendor and glory, tell the tale of your wonderful works. They will speak of your terrible deeds, recount your greatness and might. They will recall your abundant goodness. Age to age shall ring out your justice. The Lord is kind and full of compassion, slow to anger, abounding in love. How good is the Lord to all, compassionate to all his creatures. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. This is our heavenly King. He comes with power and might to save the nations. Alleluia. Daughter of Jerusalem, rejoice and be glad. Your King will come to you. Zion, do not fear. Your Savior hastens on his way. All your creatures shall thank you, O Lord, and your friends shall repeat their blessing. They shall speak of the glory of your reign and declare your might, O God, to make known to men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your reign. Yours is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule lasts from age to age. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Daughter of Jerusalem, rejoice and be glad. Your King will come to you. Zion, do not fear, your Savior hastens on his way. Let us cleanse our hearts for the coming of our great King, that we may be ready to welcome him. He is coming and will not delay. The Lord is faithful in all his words and loving in all his deeds. The Lord supports all who fall and raises all who are bowed down. The eyes of all creatures look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open wide your hand, grant the desires of all who live. The Lord is just in all his ways and loving in all his deeds. He is close to all who call on him, who call on him from their hearts. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. The Lord protects all who love him, but the wicked he will utterly destroy. Let me speak the praise of the Lord. Let all mankind bless his holy name forever, for ages unending. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, be near to all who call upon you in truth, and increase the dedication of those who revere you. Hear our prayers and save us, that we may always come, love you, and praise your holy name. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us cleanse our hearts for the coming of our great King, that we may be ready to welcome him. He is coming and will not delay. I love you, Lord, my strength. You are such a good Father. And the verse introducing the lesson for this Sunday from the Office of Reading, lift up your heads and see, your redemption is now at hand. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 29, verses 13 through 24. The judgment of the Lord is announced. The Lord God said, since this people draws near with words only and honors me with their lips alone, though their hearts are far from me, and their reverence for me has become routine observance of the precepts of men. Therefore, I will again deal with this people in surprising and wondrous fashion. The wisdom of its wise men shall perish, and the understanding of its prudent men be hidden. Woe to those who would hide their plans too deep for the Lord, who work in the dark, saying, who sees us or who knows us? Your perversity is as though the potter were taken to be the clay, as though what is made should say of its maker, he made me not, or the vessel should say of the potter, he does not understand. But a little, very little while, and Lebanon shall be changed into an orchard, and the orchard be regarded as a forest. On that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The lowly will ever find joy in the Lord, and the poor rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the tyrant will be no more, and the arrogant will have gone. All who are alert to do evil will be cut off, those whose mere word condemns a man, who ensnare his defender at the gate and leave the just man with an empty claim. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of the house of Jacob, who redeemed Abraham, and Jacob shall have nothing to be ashamed of, nor shall his face grow pale, when his children see the work of my hands in his midst. They shall keep my name holy. They shall reverence the Holy One of Jacob and be in awe of the God of Israel. Those who err in spirit shall acquire understanding, and those who find fault shall receive instruction. Responsory prayer. On that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of darkness the fog, the eyes of the blind shall see, and the poor will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Go back and tell John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, cripples walk, the deaf hear, and the poor have the good news preached to them, and the poor will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And our second reading is from a sermon by St. Augustine, Bishop. Oh, this is a good one. The voice is John, the word is Christ, is the caption. John is the voice, but the Lord is the Word, who was in the beginning. John is the voice that lasts for a time. From the beginning, Christ is the Word who lives forever. Take away the word, the meaning, and what is the voice? Where there is no understanding, there is only a meaningless sound. The voice without the word strikes the ear, but does not build up the heart. However, let us observe what happens when we first seek to build up our hearts. When I think about what I am going to say, the word or message is already in my heart. When I want to speak to you, I look for a way to share with your heart what is already in mine. In my search for a way to let this message reach you, so that the word already in my heart may find place also in yours, I use my voice to speak to you. The sound of my voice brings the meaning of the word to you and then passes away. The word which the sound has brought to you is now in your heart, and yet it is also in mine still. When the word has been conveyed to you, does not the sound seem to say, the word ought to grow and I should diminish? The sound of the voice has made itself heard in the service of the word and has gone away, as though it were saying, my joy is complete. Let us hold on to the word. We must not lose the word conceived inwardly in our hearts. Do you need proof that the voice passes away, but the divine word remains? Where is John's baptism today? It served its purpose and went away. Now it is Christ's baptism that we celebrate. It is in Christ that we all believe. We hope for salvation in him. This is the message the voice cried out. Because it is hard to distinguish word from voice, even John himself was thought to be the Christ. The voice was thought to be the word, but the voice acknowledged what it was, anxious not to give offense to the word. I am not the Christ, he said, nor Elijah, nor the prophet. And the question came, who are you then? He replied, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The voice of one crying in the wilderness is the voice of one breaking the silence. Prepare the way of the Lord, he says, as though he were saying, I speak out in order to lead him into your hearts. But he does not choose to come where I lead him unless you prepare the way for him. To prepare the way means to pray well. It means thinking humbly of oneself. We should take our lesson from John the Baptist. He is thought to be the Christ. He declares he is not what they think. He does not take advantage of their mistake to further his own glory. If he had said, I am the Christ, you can imagine how readily he would have been believed, since they believed he was the Christ even before he spoke. But he did not say it. He acknowledged what he was. He pointed out clearly who he was. He humbled himself. He saw where his salvation lay. He understood that he was a lamp, and his fear was that it might be blown out by the wind of pride. Responsory prayer. I must decrease, but he must increase. The one who comes after me existed before me, and I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim sing in endless praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not spurn the Virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. And we're going to combine this with the morning prayer as well. So we're going to keep off on the final prayer until the end of our office session and omit the second hymn. The Lord is coming without delay. He will reveal things kept hidden and show himself to all mankind. Alleluia. The Lord, this is Psalm 93, the splendor of God the Creator. The Lord our mighty God now reigns supreme. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him praise. Revelation 19, 6 through 7 is our sentence from scripture or tradition. The Lord is King with majesty enrobed. The Lord has girded himself with might. Robed himself with might, he has girded himself with power. The world you made firm, not to be moved. Your throne has stood firm from of old. From all eternity, O Lord, you are. The waters have lifted up, O Lord. The waters have lifted up their voice. The waters have lifted up their thunder. Greater than the roar of mighty waters, more glorious than the surging of the sea, the Lord is glorious on high. Truly your decrees are to be trusted. Holiness is fitting to your house, O Lord, until the end of time. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will just pray the optional psalm prayer. All power and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you, Lord Jesus. You rule with decrees that are firm and trustworthy. Be with us always so that we may make disciples whose holiness will be worthy of your house. And I thank you for the great privilege of leading these prayers and being a catechist. From my heart, I thank you most of all for the relationships that you have shown me with other members of your church and how they love you and how they love me. But also I thank you for the gift of being able to be a conveyor and a teacher of your word. The Lord is coming without delay. He will reveal things kept hidden and show himself to all mankind. Alleluia. Antiphon 2. Mountains and hills shall be level, crooked paths straight, rough ways smooth. Come, Lord, do not delay. Alleluia. And this is the canticle from the book of Daniel. Let all creatures praise the Lord. All you servants of the Lord, sing praise to him. Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Angels of the Lord, bless the Lord. You heavens, bless the Lord. All you waters above the heavens, bless the Lord. All you armies of the Lord, bless the Lord. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. Stars of heaven, bless the Lord. Every shower and dew, bless the Lord. All you winds, bless the Lord. Fire and heat, bless the Lord. Cold and chill, bless the Lord. Dew and rain, bless the Lord. Frost and chill, bless the Lord. Ice and snow, bless the Lord. Nights and days, bless the Lord. Light and darkness, bless the Lord. Lightnings and clouds, bless the Lord. Let the earth bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Mountains and hills, bless the Lord. Everything growing from the earth, bless the Lord. You springs, bless the Lord. Seas and rivers, bless the Lord. You dolphins and all water creatures, bless the Lord. All you birds of the air, bless the Lord. All you beasts, wild and tame, bless the Lord. You sons of men, bless the Lord. O Israel, praise, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Priests of the Lord, bless the Lord. Servants of the Lord, bless the Lord. Spirits and souls of the just, bless the Lord. Holy men of humble heart, bless the Lord. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Let us bless, and this is the part the church, of course, has inserted as our own prayer. Let us bless the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us praise and exalt him above all forever. Blessed are you, Lord, in the firmament of heaven. praiseworthy and glorious and exalted above all forever. And we don't need the glory to the Father because we already blessed God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in that insert. Mountains and hills, bless the Lord. Mountains and hills shall be level, crooked paths straight, rough ways smooth. Come, Lord, do not delay. Alleluia. Antiphon 3. I shall enfold Zion with my salvation and shed my glory around Jerusalem. Alleluia. Psalm 148. Praise to the Lord, the Creator. Praise and honor, glory and power for him, forever to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. Revelation 5:13 is our sentence from scripture or tradition. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise all his angels. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his army. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, shining stars. Praise him, highest heavens and water and the waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. He commanded, they were made. He fixed them forever, gave a law which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea creatures and all oceans, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy winds that obey his word, all mountains and hills, all fruit trees and cedars, beasts wild and tame, reptiles and birds on the wing, all earth's kings and peoples, earth's princes and rulers, young men and maidens, old men together with children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he alone is exalted. The splendor of his name reaches beyond heaven and earth. He exalts the strength of his people. He is the praise of all his saints, of the sons of Israel, of the people to whom he comes close. And I love this optional psalm prayer. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, extolled in the heights by angelic powers, you are also praised by all of earth's creatures, each in its own way. With all the splendor of heavenly worship, you still delight in such tokens of love as earth can offer. May heaven and earth together acclaim you as King. May the praise that is sung in heaven resound in the heart of every creature on earth. Through the same Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. I shall enfold Zion with my salvation and shed my glory around Jerusalem. Alleluia. So the next part of the office is, of course, the reading for morning prayer, but hopefully you can see that these optional psalm prayers give us some sense of how we might be inspired and how the psalms might, even though they're not something that we have to say, there may be a model for us, a way in which we can understand how we might pray from the psalms that we just prayed. And of course, when we recite the psalms, we're not just reading them like a reading in church, but there's a component of contemplative meditation as we read each line, where we imagine, you know, it's kind of like speaking to God, and then you make it your own as you consider how it might apply to your life. I shall enfold Zion with my salvation and shed my glory around Jerusalem. Alleluia. And another cool substitution that you can make is that you can take the gospel reading from a mass or the mass of the day and read and proclaim it here. Or you could take the first reading from the mass and read it here, which is usually quite short. So only 4 verses for the first reading today. Or you could take the second reading from the Mass for Sunday from Paul's letter to the Philippians, and you could read it too. So that we can kind of practice for Mass, I'll read the Gospel reading. What should we do is the caption. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has 2 cloaks should share with the one who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, Stop collecting more than what is prescribed. Soldiers also asked him, And what is it that we should do? He told them, Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages. Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. And a responsory that we could come up with is, Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, Teacher, what should we do? So again, remember what we talked about when we studied Lectio Divina. Go back and read it again later on. That was the Gospel for today of Luke chapter 3, 10 through 18. And then you'll be super prepared for Mass. That's just a suggestion. Now we pray the New Testament canticle from John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. When John, in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples with this question. Are you the one whose coming was foretold, or should we look for another? Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When John, in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples with this question. Are you the one whose coming was foretold, or should we look for another? To God our Father, who has given us the grace to wait in joyful hope for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us make our prayer. Show us your mercy, Lord. Sanctify us in mind and body. Keep us without reproach until the coming of your Son. Make us walk this day in holiness, and live upright and devout lives in this world. May we be clothed in our Lord Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to stand watchful and ready until your Son is revealed in all his glory. And we pray for all of your personal intentions, especially offering this office for Father Jim Blout and for his personal intentions and needs. Show us your mercy, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, ever faithful to your promises and ever close to your church, the earth rejoices in hope of the Savior's coming, and looks forward with longing to his return at the end of time. Prepare our hearts and remove the sadness that hinders us from feeling the joy which his presence will bestow, for he is Lord forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. End of the office of combined office of readings and morning prayer proper. So let's stick around just for 5 or 10 minutes. So you see why the Divine Office is such an untapped treasure now, such a source of spiritual wisdom, such a source of spiritual reflection and reading. Why, the office is a school of prayer, especially in the Psalms and the Canticles, by which we learn from Scripture itself and from an attentive and often private, on our own reading of it, how we can pray in our own words to our Father. So you can see why this is a real resource. You know, there were many things that came to me about possible ways we could reflect as we went through those two readings. I'll just mention, you know, that Christ himself cites this verse from Isaiah. This people draws near with words only and honors me with their lips only. So this is from Isaiah, our reading from Isaiah. Though their hearts are far from me, and their reverence for me has become routine observance of the precepts of men. And again, he quotes this in dialogue with the arrogant, brash religious leaders who shepherded Israel in his own time, to show them again that they themselves were responsible for shepherding the people, and if they instilled a false tradition in people and led them to worship in a false way, you know, that was not pleasing to God. So again, many Protestants point to this as proof, as a proof text, that Sola Scriptura is the original tradition of the New Testament. And we've already gone over that when we read the letter of Jude, when we've done a couple of offices about it a few weeks ago, you know. We talked about that, and we continue to speak about that. But God did not have in mind that context. But also at the same time, Catholics often have a hard time explaining that one and dealing with it because, you know, especially for the more conservative Catholics, maybe that call to humility and that call to recognize our own dependence and need on Christ could be something that really is kind of humbling. But the Church herself says in the Catechism, in keeping with the Lord's command, the gospel was handed on in two ways. Orally, by the apostles, who handed on by the spoken word of their preaching, by the example they gave, by the instructions they established, what they themselves had received, whether from the lips of Christ, from his way of life and his works, or whether they had learned it at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Second way, in writing, by those apostles and other men associated with the apostles, who under the inspiration of the same Holy Spirit committed the message of salvation to the writing. So we spoke about this yesterday. We don't want to pass on to others the relationship with God that we might gain through reading pop psychology books or even through our own reflection, as precious as that is. And I'm not saying that you don't use your personal experience. You absolutely have to in handing on the faith. But the Church's tradition has more in it. So the Church has been here for 2,000 years and it has so many saints and holy men and women that we should have, you know, when we hand on our faith and we share with people our moral theology, we should be attentive to what the people who have come before us and what has been discerned by the Church have said and done, and make sure that we're handing on to people a tradition that we ourselves have received. So again, many different ways do Catholics conceive of sacred tradition. I was taught that sacred tradition is like the Jewish oral Torah, and I don't think that that's a very good way to think of sacred tradition. But again, it's no detriment to you, since the Church doesn't teach either of those hypotheses. And, you know, it's no detriment to you if you want to think of it as like the Jewish oral tradition, where they had all these different rabbinical laws that were being created as an interpretation of Scripture. I prefer to think of it as a conversation. You know, God's word comes to us and continues to come to the Church. And through the practice of the liturgy, through the sitting at the Lord's sacrifice in the Mass and the preaching of the Church, we continue to have kind of this living conversation where we gain knowledge. And you can even see it in Catherine of Siena and some of these things where, you know, there are all these Dominican preachers, and they know so much about heaven and hell and purgatory, and she's confirming all of it, you know. So it's really, really interesting to see how that ongoing conversation really enriches our understanding of these essential truths of our faith. One of my favorite paragraphs is, the Father's self-communication made through his word in the Holy Spirit remains present and active in the Church. God, who spoke in the past, continues to converse with the spouse of his beloved Son, and the Holy Spirit, through whom the living voice of the gospel rings out in the church, and through her in the world, leads believers to the full truth, and makes the word of Christ dwell in them in all its richness. And again, I don't have chapter and verse right now, but in the Acts of the Apostles, you can kind of see a little bit of the apostles' extra knowledge, because Paul will cite, and Luke records Paul citing this statement of Jesus, that our Lord Jesus Christ himself taught that it was better to give than to receive. And of course, you know, this is not something that has been handed on through the canonical scriptures. It's something that Paul must have learned when he interviewed Peter, one of the other apostles. So it's really kind of interesting, helpful information to guide your prayer.